It's just a topic that everybody hawks about. Like, you ever, like, there are a couple things that kids know. Number one, you're not allowed to sit in a classroom if you have to go to the bathroom. That's the first thing everybody learns, right? The kids yell at the Rebbe, I gotta go to the bathroom, Baltashaksu, you know, you hear that when I was a Rebbe in camp for third graders. I gotta get out of here, it's Baltashaksu. That's one thing everybody knows. The other thing that people know is this concept we're gonna discuss tonight, which is Tircha d'Tzibura, which is when somebody has a tendency to make things schlep and it's not fair to the tzibur. Like the guy gets up and davens, everybody yells Tircha d'Tzibura, it's annoying, everybody knows that's a Tircha d'Tzibura. And God forbid the rabbi, I once violated this cardinal sin. I spoke somewhere, and before I spoke the following year, I was told, don't break your 15 minutes. That's it, a 15 minute stop, because, you know, people have, you don't want to ever get in the way of people and their lunch. Okay, there's more chairs up here. You don't ever get in the way of people and their lunch. So that's also a Tircha d'Tzibura. So this week it comes up because originally, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis tells us that originally Parshas Korach was supposed to be instituted as part of the Kriya Shema. We know as Kriya Shema is three parshios. There's V'yahavta, V'yim Shemo, and V'yomer, but there was supposed to be a fourth. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that the first source, that Bikshu L'kvoa Parshas Balak B'Kriya Shema, that this week's parsha, what exactly part of Balak, could be the whole entire story of Balak and Bilam, it could be the Matov O'alecha, the Klalos, but exactly what was supposed to be part of the Kriya Shema, that was supposed to be in there. But why didn't we institute it? Maybe Nelo Kavum and they Tarech Tzibur. Because it would have been a big pain in the neck. It's already long enough for people to say Kriya Shema, too long. So therefore, because of that, Balak was not put in. This whole story was not put into our tefillah. Very interesting, right? You would think, like, why not? It's only a Tircha d'Tzibura because we know it. It's like Long Tachanun, for example, right? If Long Tachanun was every day, we wouldn't view it as a Tircha d'Tzibura. But because we only say it on Monday and Thursday, all of a sudden it becomes a Tircha d'Tzibura. We don't view Kriya Shema as a Tircha d'Tzibura because that we say each and every day. But for some reason, Balak would have been viewed as a Tircha d'Tzibura. Okay, so what is this notion of Tircha d'Tzibura? I'm just going to bring the three cases that are brought in the Gemara and hopefully try to get to the point is, why is there such a concept? Intuitively, we can understand Tircha d'Tzibura, but what is it? What exactly is the notion of Tircha d'Tzibura? So let's look at some of the cases. This is a fascinating case, and you'll explain to me why. The Gemara Brachos on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, fresh off the Daf, Danny, you can tell us this. Amar Avidan, Pamachas Niskashu Shamayim Ba'avim. One time the cloud got full of, the sky got full of clouds. And you know what it's like in the summertime when you have those, you know, like about 6 o'clock at night and immediately, there's chairs over there, and immediately, it gets dark outside. So back in the olden days, you know, about 100 years ago when they didn't have watches, people thought it was nighttime. So you know what you do when it gets night? Everyone says, oh, we got a daven ma'ariv. So kisvurim am lomer chashechi. There was dark. V'nichtasu lebeis kinesis. They went into shul. V'nis palalu shel motzei Shabbos b'Shabbos. And they davened motzei Shabbos on Shabbos. V'dispazru avrim v'zarchu acham. And all of a sudden, the skies parted, the clouds departed, and all of a sudden the sun came in. So it was evident that it was the daytime when they davened. So Baal v'shalas Rebbe v'amar hovus palos palos. They asked Rebbe, do we have to daven again? They davened at night. They thought it was night, but really it was day. So do you have to daven again? What do you think?
No, you're allowed to daven mar on Shabbos.
Oh, so that's it. It was on Shabbos, they davened motzei Shabbos. So you're going to say it was after Plaga Mincha, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara says, since they daven only, why was it allowed here? You're right, but you're wrong for your reason. What was the svara the Gemara gives?
To make them daven again.
Oh, Shalom Aleichem, take one of my neighbor's shirts. So the Gemara says, Shani Tzibor de lo matrachinalu. A Tzibor, a community, is different because we don't want to matriach the Tzibor. Tircha de Tzibura is not only something that you're not supposed to do, it gets you out of davening again. And there's a whole discussion as to when this was, whether it was pre-plug or post-plug. Not everybody says it's post-plug. I and the Osei Kalim over there. But even if it was before the time you were even allowed to daven, nonetheless, since it was at Tzibur, we get you out. And the Rashba here, I'm not going to read the Rashba inside. The Rashba says, if it was an individual who made this mistake, guess what? Got to daven again. This is only true on a communal level. So Tircha d'Tzibur is so fascinating. Normally you understand Tircha d'Tzibur, don't do it. Don't be a jerk to the community because the community will hate you. So it's like a losa. So here it's saying the Tircha d'Tzibura is kind of, it creates you that you're able to fulfill your obligation of Meir. That's story number one. Okay, story number two. A Gemara in Sota. Now, back in the day, it's like we have. They used to keep Sifrei Torah like next door for some reason, and they used to decorate the bima with stuff. And then they would take the Torah, and they would bring the Torah when they finished out. And then they would take the bima, and they would strip the bima of what was on it. So the Gemara in Sota tells us, you can't strip the teva when it's there. Why? They covered sibor. It's not nice. The Torah is still going to be there. You're going to be taking the beam apart and stripping it of its found, you know, of all the clothing on it. It's not nice. Everyone's sitting there waiting. You're going to, so that's not nice. So this is a classic case of what's, but he doesn't, what word does he use here? It's interesting to note, he uses the term covered hatsibor. It's not covetic to the tzibor to do such a thing. Meaning, what you want to do is you want to make sure that everybody, you know, does their business, and then you clean up the shul afterwards. First, take the Torah out, bring the Torah back to where it's supposed to go next door, and that's covered hatsibor. That's number two, and that's why Rashi, I just told you the Rashi inside. And there's a third case, which is a case that is the Gemara Numa, where we used to read in the Beis HaMikdash from two different sections. We would read from Vayikra, and we'd read from a section in Bamidbar. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, which I don't have in front of us, but the Mishnah says that the part of Vayikra that they would read from the Sefer Torah. And the part from Bamidbar, the Kohen Gadol, whoever read it on Yom Kippur, he wouldn't read it from the Sefer Torah. He would read it from a Chumash. The Chiddush. Why? So see the Gemara, let's see the Gemara. It says, you're right, the part from Pekudim, which is another nickname for Bamidbar, we read by heart. Ask the Gemara, Amai, Nigel v'Nikra. Why don't you roll from Vayikra to Bamidbar? Amrav Huna, Breyed, Rav Yoshua, Amrav Sheish, Levish, Ein Gol, and Sefer Torah, B'tzibah. We don't roll the Sefer Torah in a communal way. They covered Tziba. V'Naisi, Achrina v'Nikra. So bring a second Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, nah, we don't do that. Why? Mishum Pekamo Shal Risham. Because if you take it a second Sefer Torah, people are going to think that the first one was puzzle. So don't bring a second. So here again, we're doing something that is lechora illegal. What's illegal about saying the parsha of Bamidbar by heart, the part in Sefer Bamidbar by heart? What isser are you potentially violating? There is an isser. Dvarim shebichsav yetem rasha lo mar balpeh. That which is written, you're not allowed to say by heart, unless it's for davening. Unless there are some exceptions to the rule. And Lechora today, the whole thing is no good because that's the corollary of Dvarim Shu'al Peh Yetem Rasha Laksav, that which is supposed to be by heart, you're not supposed to write down. Anyway, point is that we violate an Isser, Lechora, in order to avoid Tircha Tzibur. Because if the Kohen Gadol reads for Vayikra, and then he says, oh, we got a roll, so that would be pasnished. And Rashi there says, Mim they covered a Tzibur, Shem Mitzapin V'dom L'Kah. Everyone's just going to be standing around and waiting. Tircha d'tzibur. And the Ritva there says, that the Ritva explains, v'lo chashu, he explains that sometimes we do allow it because we're not concerned that he switches the words. I just wanted to share from kavod d'tzibur to tircha d'tzibur. So you have this notion in three different places in Shas, at least. There are many more places that I just wanted to highlight that there's this idea of tircha d'tzibur. And what's important to understand is what tircha d'tzibur is, we don't just willy-nilly throw it out there. It has the ability when you have conflicting values. So like, for example, in one case, davening ma'ariv bizman, in the other case that we had, that which is written, make sure to read inside. And nonetheless, tircha d'tzibur has the ability to undo that other value. Yeah?
On Shavuos, we ensure we accidentally took out the first Torah before the second Torah, and we opened that first Torah and saw that it was at the wrong parsha.
Got to roll.
Decided,
you have to roll. See, that's a tricky case. There's actually a big discussion about this. Because if you take out the first one, right, there's two conflicting values. There's the tircha d'tzibur, and that would tell you, no, put it back and take out the other one. But there's also the pgam of thinking that the Sefer Torah perhaps is no good. So since it's the pgam in the Sefer Torah, efsher, you're not allowed to put that Sefer Torah back. So some people say, make an announcement that the Torah is good.
And the second Torah.
Right, so if you took it out, but once you have it on the table and you rolled it up, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's tricky. Depends on, I mean, the tzibur could be moichel on this concept, right? Meaning who owns it? That's going to be one of the shalos. Who owns this right to say, oh, it's tircha, do I have the right to be moichel, right, as a community, which lechora we do? Yeah.
There are times where we if it's on the wrong parsha, we would roll it that parsha.
Right, because of Kavarat Sibur. But that goes against the Kavarat Sibur. That was his question, right? We rolled, like in Yeshiva, I'll never forget, it happened this year. I'm a Nazi. I know that there's like a limited amount of time that the boys could sit in the shul. So you could ask, Harry knows, every time there's Rosh Chodesh or something special, I'm always yelling, you take out the Torah. I'll interrupt my shir to tell him to take out the Torah and to roll it, right? Hill, remember this? I'm always, roll it. So one time, Harry and Hill, they're makbid to get their Torah, the small one to roll it. Everybody's got to. So I told the guy, roll the Torah. Good. Roll it. So he rolled the Torah, and then these guys come from the other minyanim, and they come and they took our Torah. Like, ah!
As we're learning.
You know, yeah. Anyway. Well, no, I got upset because, whatever. Not for that. Yeah. But you understand. You got to be preempt because it is a Tircha D'Tzibur, and you don't want to be rolling in the middle. But there's but I'll ask Akash. Yeah, Farkas.
In Megillah, it talks about Rav. He didn't want to move places because everyone would stand up.
Oh.
Gives an example of the Tzibur.
Oh, very good.
How is that conflicting?
Very good. So there's a value there. What's the value? There's Kavod HaRav. Kavod HaRav versus Tircha D'Tzibur. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'll give you an example of this. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to never walk in to a place where there were people because he didn't want people to stand. If people learning whatever it was, right? He did it twice a year. I forget the two times, but there were times when he was with his wife. Why did he do it with his wife? Because he needed his wife to see that all the times that she was Meiser Nefesh was worth it, because look at the covet he's getting.
But well, what's conflicting?
So the conflicting is, there's a chiyuv, it's not just that you have a chiyuv to give me covet, there's a chiyuv for me almost to receive covet, because it's covet HaTorah. So I'm Meichel on, I'm waiving my right for my covet HaTorah, because it will be a Tircha D'Tzibur. So Tircha D'Tzibur plays a much larger role than covet HaTorah. So that plays itself out. Yeah, and that's a great example of times when you have Tircha D'Tzibur, you know, in wrestling with something else. Yeah, Barry.
Like on Shabbos 2 weeks ago, like, we hired a guy to rain. He was a little late, and he, like, rubbed the raining. So would that be Tircha D'Tzibur?
Absolutely. We're going to have an example of the Tshuva Zarashba right now. Listen to this. Listen to this example. So we're going to try to understand what's the nature of this Isra, really, of this concept of Tircha D'Tzibur. And we're going to have a couple of different possibilities. The Tshuva Zarashba talks about the following case. Let's say, who's here a Kohen? Anybody a Kohen? Okay. Well, it makes sense. It's your last name. Although we once had a boy in the yeshiva. His last name was Kohen. He was a Levi. He now has a nephew in the yeshiva. Anyway, so we call you up, Yamod David Avram, and you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. You've already been called up, David Avram. So now we have the following problem. We have a mitzvah of the Kiddushto. Kohen goes first. But now, if we wait for him, it's a Tircha D'Tzibur. Long Island Railroad leaves 7:22, and we're going to wait. We're going to miss the train. Tircha D'Tzibur. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha in that case? So look at this. That's the shaila the Tshuva Zarashba has. So I just pointed out to the shaila. To turn to page 2. The Rashba says, Tshuva mistavra she'em mamtinu lo, we don't wait for you. Why not? Shelo b'chol makom amru she'kav she'kohen. Not every place is a Kohen go first. Let's say it is a Talmud Chacham versus a Kohen after the Talmud Chacham wins. Sherei b'makom Talmud Chacham afilu ger kodem lo. Right? Even a ger could go before the Talmud Chacham, whatever the Talmud Chacham, whatever it is. V'lo yeh kavet atzibor kal mitzur mivirebonin. You should have kavet atzibor more than the Talmud Chacham's kavet. So you have situations where the Kohen doesn't necessarily go first. And many times on Shabbos, we are mekatzer because of this concept of Tircha D'Tzibur. Now, what's interesting in this Rashba to note is not just the case, which is your case. You don't wait for him because that's Tircha D'Tzibur. And as a matter of fact, you should get your money back for paying this guy. We're not going to say who he is. But the point is that what's chash about this Rashba is he ties in, bring up a chair, he ties in Kavod HaTzibur to Tircha D'Tzibur. He kind of links the two. If you look at the Rashba, it's Rav Asher Weiss points out, it's almost interchangeable, this concept of Kavod HaTzibur versus Tircha D'Tzibur. That the idea of Tircha D'Tzibur is just like there's a notion of Kavod, giving Kavod to other people, there's this large concept of Kavod HaTzibur, which the Rashba is pointing out. The Minchas Asher, who has a shtickle on this, and this is where it came to this, the Minchas Asher has a shtickle that he says, perhaps this idea, there's a machlekas, he quotes a tshuva of the Stei Chemed, and he says that perhaps, he wants to argue, somebody says it's derabbanan, but based on this Rashba, the Minchas Usher wants to argue that this concept of Tirchet Tzibur is even a din d'araisa, so much so that this notion of Kidashto, which is to make sure that the Kohen gets taken care of first and gets the first Aliyah, we get rid of him because Tirchet Tzibur is a d'araisa. It would only make sense if Tirchet Tzibur is a d'araisa, because only if it's a d'araisa would it be a d'araisa. If this concept of Tirchet Tzibur is just a nice thing like the rabbis instituted, then why would it trump? Sorry about that. Why, for those of you who get triggered, why would it trump a din d'araisa? What? The kiddushto, that you have to go take care of a kohen first. That's a mitzvah, which again, a kohen could be meichel, but let's assume he wasn't meichel, he couldn't be meichel because the middle of Shemona Esrei. So this din d'araisa. Oh, so then the chori's meichel. Then we're not talking about that. We're talking about a case. He's just David. He has no idea what's flying. He's so engrossed in the Shemona Esrei. Give him credit. He wasn't worried about the sift. What? I think so. If it's Shema Nov, if it's the silent Shema Esrei, then yes. Tikkun Tzibur is a very subjective thing. The Minchas Asher wants to say that it's a din d'araisa that the Rabbanan give rules to it. So like it could be a very I didn't see this anywhere, but I think it makes sense. It's a very subjective halacha. Namely, if the tzibor if the people around you get annoyed, then it's annoying. But like if you're in a Rabbi Nachman minyan, it's not, because that's the expectation of the minyan. So I think it's a subjective halach. And I think each tzibor could define what is considered a tircha and not. Tzibor, each person. Tzibor. Not a person. This is not a din. The Rambam will skip now because of what you just told me. But if you look at the Rambam Hilchos Deos, he says, mitzvah al kol adam lehovas kol achad v'achad miYisrael. You have a mitzvah to love everybody. Kegufa shenei v'ahavta lo'echa kamocha. I called Rabbi Simon last night. Is this a din in v'ahavta lo'echa kamocha? This idea of tircha d'tzibor, that you have to love everybody. He says, no, it's a din in the tzibor. So it's not, and each tzibor could set rules as to what is considered tircha. Matter of fact, I like what shuls, I hate and like at the same time, when shuls say, okay, you have 15 minutes for Pesukei Dezimra, because then the expectations are clear, you're joining that tzibor. On the other hand, it's like, it's making your tefillah into like a program, your tefillah should be a little bit more like, Leibedik. Yeah?
Is the tzibor, the words of the tzibor, the
good question, I'm going to get to it at the end. Great question, I'm going to get to it at the end. Good question, yeah. Push it.
On weekdays on Rosh Chodesh, their Rabbi Glad would say that he wants the Chazan to like sing it and make it a thing, but people have to get to work.
Yeah, that's an interesting shaila. Is Hallel considered Tircha D'Tzibur? Yeah, that's a great question. You have the conflicting values again, this idea and this notion of singing Shiras V'Tishbachas L'Hashem versus Tircha D'Tzibur. So I think in that case, what a shul like the Young Israel could do is very easy. They could have multiple minyanim, and just as long as you know what you're getting into when you sign up for it, like I think the expectations would be good. You know, that would be my solution. I have a kasha on two Rambams. I don't have a good teretz based on this, and then we're going to talk about something we spoke about, Galil. Look at this Rambam. The Rambam here quotes this Gemara in Yuma that we just quoted before. He said, Kesu du Kora Yoshev Bezras Nashim. It talks about how you pass the Torah from here to here. The Kohen gets it, and he starts to read. And he says, look by the underlying part. It says, V'lama Kora Al Peh. Why do we read it by heart? Why does the Kohen Gadol read the second thing he reads by heart? Says the Rambam, She'en Golan Sefer Torah B'Tzibur, because we never roll the Sefer Torah publicly. What would you have said if I was the Rambam? What would I have said if I was the Rambam? Kavod HaTzibur. And if you look in the next Rambam that I brought down, in Hilchos Tefillah, not by Avodas Yom Kippurim, he writes, he says, Ein Korim B'Chumash, but you don't ever read from a Chumash in a base Knesset, because of Kavod HaTzibur, and you don't go to Sefer Torah B'Tzibur, and make Torah HaTzibur, Shel Yitzrach Aleim L'Yosen Omdim, Ad Sheyigalel Sefer Torah. We never roll the Sefer Torah publicly, because that's a Tircha D'Tzibur. So he writes it in another place, and yet here he doesn't. So for some reason, that case in Yuma is different than the regular case of Kriyas HaTorah. And you know why? I'm surprised nobody picked up on this. What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash when they had to lean from two different places? What did they do? They leaned one from a Torah and one by heart. What do we do today when we have to lean from two different topics? We bring two Torahs. So why didn't they bring two Torahs? Not only that, you know what the halacha is? Let's say, and this happened to me Shavuos. A lot of you probably have the Shavuos. For those of you who davened with a minyan, right? That was the big divide between the Haredi and the modern Orthodox. I always thought about whether Zionism. No, it's did you daven Shavuos with a minyan or not? So if you daven with a minyan Shavuos and you only had one Sefer Torah, what did you do for Maftir? You rolled it. I covered at Sibor. Yom Kippur, we don't. In the Beis HaMikdash, we don't. For some reason or another. But when it comes to a regular day at our shuls, we roll the Torah. Why? What's the difference between the two? Where? Where's the Sibor Mochel?
Unrolling.
Where?
Everyone knows. You only have one Torah.
But you have one Torah in the Beis HaMikdash. You have one Torah. It's got to be a difference. You're telling me differences, but why is it Mechalik? No? Yeah, come on. What? See, there's two. The Maggid of Ram asks this kasha, and the Maggid of Ram says, what does he say? He says that the Beis HaMikdosh is a din in Klal Yisrael, not at Sibor. It's bigger than at Sibor. So for some reason there, you can't even talk about it. But when it comes to... But Yom Kippur, if it wasn't the Beis HaMikdosh, you would roll. But when it comes to a shul, that's at Sibor, and who asked this before, that Sibor could be Meichel. But you can't be Meichel in the Beis HaMikdosh. That was one chilek. The Avnei Nezer had a very sharp chilek where the Avnei Nezer says that he says, in the Beis HaMikdosh, whose chiyav is it? Whose chiyav is it to read from the Torah in the Beis HaMikdosh? The Kohen Gadol's. Whose chiyav is it for us to lay in shul? The Sibor. So if the Kohen Gadol wants to read in the Beis HaMikdosh, that's his problem. Too bad. But when it comes to the shuls, that's on us. We could say, no. That's a tier that, you know, that we need it for us. So therefore, it's not a tircha of the tzibura, it's a necessity of the tzibura. Okay. Just an interesting Rambam, how we get back to the end. Okay, so now the question I want to start with. So what about the rabbi? The question. You have a rabbi. I once tried out for a shul, to be a shul rabbi. And after the conversation about the shul, you know, you have this large interview with about 12 people in a room, and afterwards they discussed, okay, we're going to daven Ma'ariv. So I said, I daven Ma'ariv already. Okay, so the head of the search committee, he walked me upstairs, and he goes, oh, we wanted to daven Ma'ariv with you. They wanted to know how long my Shemoneh Esrei was. They wanted to know, like, how one of the jobs of the rabbi is they got to wait for you in shul, so it's a tier. If the rabbi's got a 7-minute Shemoneh Esrei, forget it. He's got no chance of getting the job. If he's got a 3-minute Shemoneh Esrei, his odds increase. Like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, they got it on the stopwatch, right? So what's pshat? Why do we wait for the rabbi if it's a tircha de tzibur?
Cover
the rav? Do you know what the Ramah says? The Ramah says? First of all, there's this long tshuva here of somebody called the Binyamin Zev, who's a rav in Greece. He says, nah, it's a tircha de tzibur. You don't wait for the rav. And if you turn to page 3, the Shulchan Aruch there, I'm not going to do the whole Binyamin Zev. I don't want to be matriarch the tzibor. It's hot without air conditioning in the tent. So I don't want to have such a long shia. I promise 25 minutes to 30 minutes. The Ramah Paskins, look by the underline, im hayaminyan bebeis hakneses, ein lahamtin al adam choshev. Don't wait for the important person. O gadol shadayin loba. Or for somebody, and you don't also wait. Let's say the minyan's 8 o'clock. And the rabbi is not there at 8 o'clock. It's 8:01. Wait, we should wait for the rabbi? Says the Ramah, we don't wait. Why? Tircha de tzibur. So if it's a tircha de tzibur, you don't wait for the rabbi. And this is a Ramah. That's what we generally paskin like. So why do we wait for the rabbi? Yeah. Yeah. Same, I think it's the same thing. I think it's a very similar shaila. I mean, if it's in the shiva house, then yeah. Then, you know, I think what Avi was asking, what about the guy in shul who davens along Shemoneh Esrei, and we know he has Sein Kaddish, so we want to wait for him. I think people are nice. But the rabbi one is a constant. It's a good shaila, no? So what's going on? What changed? Ramochel? The Ramah says, don't wait. Rabbi Kiva Eger was the first one who says, Rabbi Kiva Eger was the first one to say, No. You don't wait. You got to wait for the rabbi. Like, this is ridiculous. You got to have covet. And we'll see why in a moment. The Magen Avraham says once for numbers for us. The Magen Avraham says, listen to what he says. First, he quotes the Ein Shliach Tzibur Lahamtin. The Achshav Nem Lahamtin Alav Bezin. Today we wait. Why do we wait? V'ner Li Hatam. Sherova Anashim Mispalim Ben Rutsa. It's the clowns in the shul, the members of the shul, they daven very quickly. Vim Yechidim Mispalim Mila B'Mila. And if people daven word by word, and they say the words, Lo Yuchlo Amar Kedusha Im Atzibur, they wouldn't be able to say Kedusha with the community. Lachein Mamtinim. Therefore we wait. So why do we wait? Because he says the Mila B'Mila. And it continues, Lachein early, the Avim Ein Av Bezin Be'ir. Even if the Av Bezin, even if the Gamba, if the rabbi is not there, guess what? You have to time Yishmona Esrei, that lurk how long he davens, and that's the time you got to wait. Yesh Lahamtin al Ispal Mila B'Mila. Wait for the daveners to daven word by word. Aval, but Kishemarich Elahamtin Allah. Don't wait for him. Kimosha Kasav Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that when Rabbi Akiva davened by himself, he would go from one side of the room to the other side of the room. Nobody knew what happened. But when he davened with the community, Rabbi Akiva was Makatsir Tzfila. There is nothing worse. Yeah, no, he shortened the way he davened. He didn't say it. There is, no, by the way, as a Rav, sometimes I'm in a situation where people wait for me, which it's. I always speed, you know, like by mincha, I always speed up my Shmona Esrei because of that. I hate it. The worst case is when you're davening one of the minyanim, and people are waiting for you, but you don't know you're waiting for you. Right. So I have that, and you don't even know if, and then I'm trying to figure out are they waiting for me or not, because my Shmona Esrei is two speeds: speed one for when I'm davening people waiting for me, and speed two when they're not waiting for me. But what if you don't know they're waiting for you? Say, I don't want to give up my Shmona Esrei because they're not, but maybe they're not waiting for me. So that's a tricky one I have at Ma'ariv sometimes, where I daven on a Motzei Shabbos. Whatever. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I don't even know, and I don't want to say to them, don't wait for me because maybe they're not waiting for me. And then I look like a tuchus. You understand? So like you got to be careful with this thing. It's like a cover game. What?
One time take a really long Shmona Esrei and see what happens.
What's that? They do by Sfira. Really, you know what I'm talking about? By Sfira. But only for Pesach to Shavuos they wait for me. And it's only sometimes when he's in a mood. Well, I try. That's what I try. It's like a whole game. What? It's only, you know, you don't tell me.
They go really, really long, so they stop waiting for you. And then,
yeah. No, because I don't want anybody. Like, by mincha, I have a very fast mincha. As a matter of fact, what I do by mincha, when I dive in with you guys, is I start, I say the first part up until Kedusha with you. I don't start Shmona Esrei after Kedusha. I start Shmona Esrei before. Just so, again, so because you don't want to be much. That's what Rabbi Akiva does. That's svara number one. Svara number two, the Mishnah Berurah writes somewhere else. He says, it used to be in the olden days that they would learn after Shachris or Shtickle. So if they didn't wait for the or after Marv. So if they didn't wait for the rabbi, you know what happened? The rabbi still be davening, everyone's gone. So that was also a tragedy. Yeah, but that wasn't for learning. That was just to make sure he walked home safely. A third Sfarah, the Minchas Asher writes this as a joke, but there might be some serious to it. The Minchas Asher writes that Sana'as Arabanis, you're supposed to hate being a person who has a position of authority, and the reason why is because Rabbanus shrinks your days. So because you shrink your days for the Rabbanus, what extends your life? Long tefillas. So because the long tefillas extend your life, that can knock out the shortness of your life as being a Rav. So that's another svar they say. But what? Iyun tefila, less life. Not marichim betefila. Not this tefei dinim. This iyun. If you're thinking about the words, if you're thinking about the concept, not about the words. Last thing, I think somebody shared this, that I think like this, and I think this goes back to some of the things we said earlier. The reason why I believe that we wait for the Rav, it's not a Tircha de Tzibor, is because ultimately who defines what the Tzibor is?
The Rav.
So I don't know why this far wasn't come up by the Ramah, but the greatest Kavod HaTzibor we could do is give Kavod to the Tzibor. And who defines the Tzibor ultimately? The Rav. The people pick the Rav. This is the Rav you picked. Okay, you weren't there. You didn't get the Dav Mariv beforehand. But that's the defining quality of what the community is. You ask anybody, like, what is the youngest woman here? Rabbi Billet. So of course you should wait for Rabbi Billet. But there are a couple of tricks the Mishnah Berurah I didn't do in here, and a couple of tricks you can do. You are allowed, A, to waive, the Rav could waive the Shliach Tzibor. But even what the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Rav could do the old fake out, break out. You're allowed to do this. In the middle of Shmona Esrei, even if you're up to, let's say, Alat Tzadikim, and you hear the rumbling behind you, you could do the old three steps back. right in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei.
And take 3 steps forward back to Dusha?
Whatever you want. I don't know. Just take the 3 steps back, right, and then they're going. So it's the old double move, right? To, you know, you're allowed to, because people don't realize in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're allowed to do certain things. You're allowed to talk.
What?
Like, let's say, I'll give you an example, right? Don't get excited. Let's say you forgot Yalav Yavo, and it's Ma'ariv, and you don't know the halacha, and you didn't have an art scroll that tells you you don't have to go back. You don't know what to do. So you could stop. You can go to the back of the base manager, take out Sfarim. You could go ask people to Shiloh. You're allowed to do that. Fun fact. Again, I don't recommend this at home. Today we have the art scroll. You just open up to the back. You get the numbers. And, you know, it says turn to, in case you missed, number 60. And they give you the quick halachas. But in a nutshell, that's the halachas of Tirchid Tzibur. So I think what Tirchid Tzibur is, who defines the community? So you got to be very careful about that. That's it. One interesting halacha, I called Rabbi Simon yesterday, he told me something very, very interesting. He says, he quotes this Bir halacha, another halacha of Tircha Detzibur. If there's a single person in jail, you're not allowed to bring him a Sefer Torah. Because we don't move a Sefer Torah for one individual. But for some reason, if there's 10 people in jail, now we're not talking about the people in jail who like are in, you know, a financial thing. We're talking about in the old days, like Marame Rutenberg, who they used to... Interesting, historically, when Jews used to be like taken to jail all the time, like the Marame Rutenberg was in jail, and the people used to visit him, they used to learn with him there. It was like, I don't know what kind of jail it was, but it was like where there were discussions, and there definitely, we have conversations between the Rush and the Marame Rutenberg in prison. Anyway, so if you have 10 people in jail, says the Bir Halacha, you're allowed to bring them a Torah, because that is a chiyuv from the tzibur, meaning it's a tircha de tzibur not to have the Torah. So since it's a tircha de tzibur not to have the Torah, you're allowed to bring them the Torah. So Rabbi Simon wanted to extrapolate, so in all these backyard minyanim now, we have people bringing Torahs all over the place, and it's not really good. But the svara as to why you're allowed to do it is because just like when you're in jail, you couldn't get out of jail to go to shul for the Torah, so to here. We didn't have the option of going to shul. So since we didn't have the option of going to shul, epsher, because of Tircha Tzibur, you're allowed to bring the Sefer Torah to somebody else. Okay, so that, in a nutshell, is the concept of Tircha Tzibur, and this is why we don't read Balak. Okay, one vart on the parsha. I promised a vart on the parsha at the end. And I'll share with you an amazing, amazing idea I saw today in the Netziv. This week we have the where Moshe Rabbeinu hits the stone and causes the stone to have droplets of water. So apparently what Moshe did was terrible, and because of that he doesn't get into Eretz Yisrael. And it's a very hard thing for us to understand, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu first asked Moshe Rabbeinu to talk to the rock, schmooze with the rock, and then the rock will spill water. Moshe doesn't do that. He hits it and says, you had an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem, Ya'in Lo Hemantabi, you didn't believe me. Now again, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is his one and only sin. So it's a Moshe Rabbeinu level that it was a sin. Let's understand that first. But what was the crime here? So the Netziv says something remarkable. What happened? Klal Yisrael was getting water from the well whenever they wanted. So whenever something happens all the time, it becomes teva. It becomes what we expect. Right? There was no school. So after a while, we kind of expected to go to school on the computer. Like, going to school would be weird at this point. Whatever happens over the course of time becomes normal. So Klal Yisrael, water became normal. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that it's Bederech Nes. So he says, Moshe, you got to show them when Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to have this bear. They're going to have times where they're going to gather together in order to daven for water. It's a Gemara in Tainus. For those of you who learned Tainus this year, see some guys from Rav Yudish here. What happens when there's no rain? You got to gather as a community and start davening. And you declare a Tainus, and then you get water. Hashem says, you got to show them now. What did he mean by speak? Not speak to a rock. A rock is a domem. You don't speak to a table. Tables don't do anything. You don't speak to a rock. Speak to the Olam. And then the Olam will start davening. That was the goal. And then when they'll see that the tefillahs are what caused the rain, not anything else, the water. So Moshe Rabbeinu, for whatever, on his level, hit the rock. And he says, you had an opportunity for Kiddush Hashem. What would the Kiddush Hashem have been? The Kiddush Hashem would have been that everybody would daven him. From the davening, the water would have happened. And says that it's Siv, this is why Moshe doesn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. Not because he had to die in the Midbar. Because this is a avodah of Eretz Yisrael. The avodah of Eretz Yisrael is, it's not Bederech HaTeva. It comes through our tefillahs that it happens. Our tefillahs happen that we're able to cause the rain and gather and cause the rain to happen. And because of that failure, that's why Moshe didn't have that opportunity to show them how to daven for rain in Eretz Yisrael. Zay gezunten shtark. Thank you for coming. I hope to do this again every Thursday night, and looking forward. Okay, Zeige Zutten Stark.